Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who, if we're being honest, probably would not risk much for a biscuit. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I mean, really, a biscuit is good. Sure, it's fine, but I'm not going to really risk anything of value to get a biscuit. I mean, even if it's the greatest biscuit ever, I mean, it's, you know, it's just a biscuit, unless we're talking about Taron Armstrong. And then, of course, that changes everything. But here we are ready to talk about the latest episode of Survivor. And I'm going to be joined by Jessica Johnston from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. She was my winner pick a season ago. She went out around this time, right at the merge last season. So we'll get her take on everything going on here in Ghost Island in just a bit. Of course, last night we had the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then we also had our exit interview with Bradley, which I recommend you check out. Bradley has a different side of the story that we didn't get to see on the episode last night. So I always recommend checking out the exit interview. That's up on robinswebsite.com. Also, don't forget our feedback show is coming up this weekend. Aubrey Bracco is going to be here with me in the studio, so make sure you get feedback questions in for Aubrey. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail. Dial in 323-282-RHAP to leave us a voicemail message, or send us an email, survivor@robhaswebsite.com. Should be a fun one with Aubrey. Before we get to Jessica, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork in Office 365. Microsoft Teams is a digital workspace where teams can create, collaborate, and communicate authentically, just like they would in the real world. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? I know, working on a podcast that I have, very lucky to work with a lot of great collaborators producing the podcast, and I know what a struggle it can be to look on all of these different cloud drives and email. It is very difficult to do. Teams is a single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, your meetings, your files, and your apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and for desktop. So whether you're sprinting towards the deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve even more. Microsoft Teams is available in Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn even more. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our guest to talk about everything that's going on here on Survivor. That one season ago, she was my winner pick to be the winner of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. I forget how it all turned out. Here she is, the great Jessica Johnston. Jessica, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yes, Jessica.
I sound like a man. I'm sorry. I have this cold, so please forgive me.
Did you say
don't
cold?
Don't confuse me. Oh, no, we're not talking. We are not talking about coal in this
you
session.
You said I have a man.
Rob.
Yeah, sorry.
No,
that's not what we're talking about here today. Okay. So, Jessica, so first up, let me just thank you so much for coming on today, because we booked this recently, and then I have come to find out that today is actually your birthday that we're recording the podcast.
Know. Yeah, I actually forgot when we, you know, planned this little session. I forgot it was my birthday. And then this morning I was like, how ironic. A year ago today, I was on the island and now I'm talking to Rob about Survivor. It was really cool. It's exciting.
Well, you went from a year ago, you had your birthday on Survivor, and then now you've gone to the low of having a birthday and talking to me on your birthday. But there is some consolation for you that I do have a special birthday message for you from one of the survivors, Jessica.
Happy birthday. Oh, who? I'm so excited.
Jessica.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, so yeah, so Wendell had recorded a nice birthday message
Wendell.
For you.
I love Wendell. I want to talk about him a lot. I have a lot of things to, I just have a lot of thoughts about Wendell.
Okay, good. Well, we'll talk about everything you've got. This is the time. We're gonna get into everything, talking about this season. And of course, we had this interesting vote out last night of Bradley, and I want to get your take on that. But first, Jessica, so could you just remind us, so, you know, what is your backstory with Survivor before we get into all of this? Because I feel like that I don't exactly know.
So backstory with Survivor, I've been a fan for a long time. In high school, I planned I was president of my class. I hate to brag. But I planned my senior night party as a Survivor theme. So it's just kind of like carried on, just a fun thing, like most people like watching it with my family. In college, I applied for The Amazing Race and made it to finals a couple years later. Didn't obviously make the show. A couple years later, got a call about Survivor, asking if I had ever thought about applying. And I said no, because it's impossible to get on. And they were like, well, listen, like, let's have you out and, you know, let's see where it goes. And before I knew it, I was in a bikini on a beach and, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yes. And well, I only asked because I went back and I listened to the first one out interview that you did with Josh, and you said you were so excited to be on the show to the point where you said that, you know, if you die, then you could say, okay, well, at least I got to do Survivor.
I know. I mean, it is. It's the biggest, like, I remember that feeling, thinking, man, like, I have, people just, like, do a lot of things in life, but I'm like, this is it. Like, I can't do any more school. I have all the friends I need. Let's just get on Survivor and play the game, and I could really die and be happy. I vividly remember feeling that.
Okay. How have you enjoyed the Ghost Island so far?
So I really love the theme. It's been really fun to watch kind of the different idols and things that we've watched in the past that we love kind of come into play with a slight twist. I think it's an awesome theme. Right now, I think I'm slightly disappointed in kind of the character development, but I do know, you know, a lot of that happens post-merge. And I think that we've seen in the past couple episodes, like, some characters kind of develop and just some really cool gameplay happening, which is exciting, kind of looking forward into, you know, the upcoming merge, post-merge episodes.
Okay, so let's get into last night's show, or Wednesday night's show. And I want to know if you liked the decision to get rid of Bradley from the perspective of Dominic and Chelsea.
Yeah. So I think that Dominic, this was like one of the moves I was talking about. First of all, I love Dominic. Me and my friends call him Dommy. I don't know why. But I'm very...
Do you have a lot of friends that you talk about Survivor with, or just your castmates from Survivor 35?
No, I have a pretty close-knit group here in Louisville, very hardcore fans. And so we just dialogue all the time about it, like back and forth.
And give people nicknames.
Absolutely. Like Dommy, yeah. And Wendell is Winnie. We have Dommy and Winnie. So I don't know how they feel about those nicknames. But so Dom, I'm just very attracted to characters like Dominic. He reminds me of like the Joe of my season, kind of like... You know, they're hardcore. They're going to play the game. They're going to be vicious, but not to the extent of like past villain characters. I don't know. Like, I just tend to very much be attracted to that kind of player. And so I am definitely rooting for Dom, but the decision last night I thought was a very good decision. You know, he was on, please correct me if I'm wrong, but with the original Davide, it was Bradley, Chelsea, and himself. Is that correct?
Right. All three of them were on the original Navidi tribe.
Okay, great. Oh, I'm glad I nailed that. Then the original Lola was Libby and Donathan. So I thought it was a really good gameplay because he dropped one player of his original tribe. He dropped Bradley, but he gained two, Libby and Donathan. So I thought that was a good gameplay going into the merge. He basically, you know, made his alliance stronger with two people that have yet to kind of really come out as ballers, Libby and Donathan. You know, maybe they'll show more gameplay later, but right now they're just really likable characters. I think that it'll turn out to his benefit. So hopefully.
Do you feel like, I understand where you're coming from with the math, but is Libby and Donathan, are they two people that they can count on while their numbers... That I feel like that they are going to be desperate post-merge, and if another deal comes along, I feel like that they're more likely to go where the wind blows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I totally see where they would float back and forth, but like in this relationship where Dommy, where Dom is so, he's a powerhouse. He could easily have control over a player like Donathan or Libby if he played his cards right. You know, it's kind of like, let's nurture the children and have them keep coming back for dad for food. I don't know. And so I think that he could nurture that relationship enough to where they would feel really loyal to Dominic and hopefully stay with him instead of going to a better deal. You know, he took a chance. If he had kept Bradley, you know, Bradley wasn't forming himself into a person people liked at all, which push comes to shove, maybe that's better post-merge, like to carry someone with you that people think negatively about. I can speak to that with some of my relationships when I played. But I think that he overall made the decision to get rid of someone that people didn't like, in hoping of, you know, increasing his numbers going into the merge.
So something that came to light today was the idea that Dominic may have thrown the immunity challenge to get the tribal council to vote out Bradley. I didn't think that that was the case last night, because I think that that probably would have been part of the story. But it sounds like from Bradley that it was the case that Dominic wanted to get to tribal council so badly to get rid of Bradley. Now, you back in season 35 were in the position that you guys were maybe at least entertaining the idea of throwing a challenge and getting rid of potentially a Ben or a Lauren before you got to the merge. Do you like that idea, you know, going through your experience of that Dominic potentially wanted to get to that tribal council to intentionally make sure Bradley didn't make it to the merge?
You know, I think so. Yes, in theory, you know, I can look back in my season and 100% looking back, Cole and Mike and myself, we 100% talked about throwing a challenge and getting rid of Ben or Lauren. Would it have been to our benefit? Yes. But when you're playing the game and you're winning and you keep winning, all you want to do is avoid tribal. So though we thought about it and looking back, it would have maybe change the whole game, we didn't do it because you just don't take that chance unless you're 100% sure it's going to benefit you. And we weren't 100% sure. You know, in my season, Ben and Lauren made themselves vocally loyal to us, and we were excited to enter the merge with them. And I think that Dominic, I agree with you that if that were even a part of the storyline, I can only imagine being the character he is, he would have taken credit for that on some level, and it would have made the edit. I mean, I think everyone watching, they like to see that kind of stuff. And it wasn't even mentioned in Dominic, you know, in any of his dialogues. And from the edit we saw, he was kind of going back and forth, like, do I keep Bradley or do I go with Libby? So there was an obvious, like, internal struggle on his part. So no, I think he might have talked about throwing the challenge, but I don't think that he did. And I don't think it would have been wise because he kind of had control. Yeah. I don't see why it would have benefited him at all to throw the challenge to make it, because Bradley thought Dominic was with him. I can't think of a scenario where it would have benefited him to throw the challenge when, you know, Chelsea was following his moves anyway. Does that make sense? Are you following me?
I'm following you. Okay. We're right there.
Are we on the same page?
We're on the same page so far. So in talking with Bradley this morning in the exit interview, that he said that he felt like that Dominic, what he did make sense, because it wasn't that Bradley was this squeaky wheel that they couldn't stand living with. It was more so that people were afraid Bradley was going to get to the end and was going to win. If he reunites with Kellen, they're not going to be able to split them up. And that's the reason why what they did, in fact, did make sense. Are you buying that, Jess?
I really want to say, yes, I'm buying that, but I'm not. And here's the reason. We all have this different game we play in our head. And then there's the game that's actually being played. So in Bradley's mind, he's, you know, a powerhouse. He's in control. And we see that in every season. There are many people in my season that the game they had in their head was very different than what was actually happening in reality. And that, I think from what I saw, that's what he was saying is not what was happening. In his mind, he was a powerhouse. He was in control. But really, people were annoyed with his social behavior, which is hard to swallow. I don't know Bradley personally. I think he's really cute. But from what I'm watching, he was very socially unaware of what was happening. And he wasn't kind. And people catch on to that. I think that there was definitely poking at Donathan. And Donathan, people typically, from what I'm watching, they really like him. I love him. And so I think that he was giving people enough reason to get him out. I don't think it was because they thought that he was going to be a powerhouse and he would make it to the end. I don't think that was one of the main reasons.
So we talked a lot about Dominic last night and really did not factor Chelsea too much into that. Again, we haven't seen her too much in the episode, but in talking with Bradley, he mentioned that there was friction between himself and Chelsea. They had been together for the entire part of the game. Chelsea also has an extended secret scene where she's talking to the camera, talking about why she really likes this move. How much of it do you think that Chelsea could have been putting poison in Dominic's ear as well about Bradley?
I think there's definitely, I wish we could have seen more of that. I definitely think that Chelsea's a player. I told someone last night that she reminds me of a character from the Game of Thrones, like with her eyes and her hair. Like she just looks like dark.
I think that she bears like, a resemblance to the Lady Melisandre at times, but I saw on Reddit today, somebody had posted that she has basically the same face as Cersei Lannister.
I didn't even read Reddit. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Are you thinking that she's one of those two characters, or you feel like that she's even a third character?
I mean, I think she's one of those two characters, so that I'm glad to see her moving forward in the game. You know, that's a good, you know, I really can't answer that. I could only imagine that she did kind of, you know, sneak a little, you know, a voice into Dominic's ear. I still think that Dominic probably had the greater opinion in getting Bradley out, just from kind of the overall season and him being a little more vocal. But it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea got her little voice in his ear, which is perfect. And I hope that she continues that relationship with Dominic. Like I said, I'm very attracted to characters like Dominic and people kind of teaming up with them and using this like good and evil type of gameplay to get farther.
So I really thought the whole episode it was going to be Libby who is the one who went home. And we saw last week about how Dominic was talking about how you can't trust her. She's an angel in a devil's body. So you got to watch out for her. Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel any sort of kinship with Libby? You know, that we heard Morgan say a couple of weeks ago, don't trust the cute blonde. I know also that from everything we read about you on Survivor, that your faith is very important to you. Mm-hmm. That also seems like a connection with Libby. That do you look at Libby as a kindred spirit at all?
I do kind of feel for Libby. So I got a little heated when I watched that episode with my friends when Dominic was like, I mean, look at her. She's just so devilish. And I wanted to be like, because she has abs and blonde hair, that makes her devilish because men are attracted to that. Like, no, it gives her this like curbside appeal and definitely an advantage, but it doesn't make her devilish at all.
Well, I thought it was, in fairness to Dominic, I thought it was because he trusted her once and then she ended up betraying him and voting against Morgan when she was supposed to vote against Angela.
Very true. Touche. I think maybe I got defensive because
of the part about the I guess that he even brought body into it. Is that where you got defensive?
Absolutely. Like the body means nothing. You know, so I think I felt slightly offended that he was comparing and that makes her this like, what he say, poverty 2.0. I was like, no, like you don't get that by looking a certain way, hopefully, but maybe in a man's world you do. I don't know. I really like Libby though. I think that she does have some gameplay we haven't seen. But right now I don't see any type of devilish, you know, persona. I think that she's kind of laying low. She's quiet and sweet. Of course, maybe that's what people said about me. And I know that in my head, like I made that comment earlier, we play a lot of game in our head, but that's like not actually happening in reality. And so it makes us feel like a crazy person. And I know I went through that. Like, I felt like I was like legit killing this game, and look what happened. I suck. So,
well, sometimes, you know, other people think that you might be killing the game also, and that's why you get voted out.
Correct. Correct. Yes. But right now, you know, I don't see Libby in the way that Dominic is giving, I guess it's almost credit. Like, I would only hope someone was like, Jessica's killing this game. She's devilish. We got to get her out. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anyone said that, but I would take it almost a backhanded compliment. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how Libby develops.
But in terms of being, you know, duplicitous in the game, was that something that you were trading on in your season of that people will perceive me as one way, but then I can, you know, violate that trust to advance my cause in the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's just understanding, you know, my personality. I knew very much that I could develop relationships. I mean, I said that many times. That was my biggest quality going into the game. But I also knew how assertive I was and what I was willing to do. So there was a part of me that was like, yeah, I really hope people do just see me. Yeah. So are we having, I feel like I'm having a counseling session with you, Rob. Like, I'm about to be like, yeah, I was hoping that people would just see me as this blonde with abs, you know, but they're, yeah, I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah. So I don't think that makes you devilish, but I think that what we're getting to is that I think that there is something there in terms of somebody that comes into the game with, you know, a strong faith. I feel like in some ways it is a detriment to you, because then if people know about that, and then if you ever betray them, I think that that's something that people are like, how could you? Whereas if Bradley lies to you, then it's like, you know, I get it.
Yeah, that would be, you know, and it's funny because, you know, if Libby's the same way, she really will. She kind of did, you know, turn on, what's her face?
Morgan.
What's
her face? Morgan,
yeah, thank you. Morgan.
After us Catholics have to stick together, and then she gets the, hey, don't trust the very cute blonde.
True. Yeah, you know, and I...
That's saying like, hey, don't trust James or Laurel or Donathan.
Yeah, no, that's true. So she definitely made a move there that I never had the opportunity to really see what I would do. So yeah, that's interesting. Very good point, Robert.
Okay. Let's talk about Donathan also, because you have a connection with him.
Do.
As well, because a lot of our listeners very keenly picked up on the fact that you are from the same home state as Donathan. This is an email from Lee in Lexington, who says,
Lee, I think I know
you
Lee.
Know Lee?
He's a big fan. I do know Lee, actually. We have mutual friends. I do know Lee. Yeah, I'm actually going to do some. Yeah, it's a long story, but we're friends.
Okay. So... Lee says, as a fellow Kentuckian to myself and to Donathan, how glad are you that you don't need subtitles in every episode?
Oh, God, Lee, that's really funny. That just shows you how diverse, you know, Kentucky is. Yes. We have, you know, the Eastern Kentucky people. We have the hills. We have the, you know, Northerners.
Where is Donathan from?
I believe he's from Eastern Kentucky, like the hills. I think that he would be okay
with
me.
He's a hill person? Is that fair to say?
Donathan, if you're listening, it's a compliment.
That's a compliment.
I love you. But he's from the hills. Yes. I've actually messaged him. He is the only person I've ever messaged. Like, I slid into his DM on Instagram, which I never do. I think it's ridiculous. But I asked him to coffee because I just need to meet him.
Okay, you want to go have coffee. Be careful. I've seen a lot of these survivors. They get one cup of coffee. They start crying. I mean, Donathan, it'll just bring back so many memories. He might be a mess.
I hope so.
No, that's what you want?
I mean, I want to see it.
You are a devil.
I know. Let's just, come on.
Making
Let's
poor Donathan cry by reminding him of coffee. Like...
So hopefully he takes me up on my offer. We'll see.
Yes. Okay. So that Donathan, are a lot of people in Kentucky excited to see Donathan on the show?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, Kentucky is a very big Survivor fan base.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, it's not like we walked down the street and people are like, did you play Survivor? But there's a big population of people who do. They just watch it all the time. And I don't know why. I don't know if because we really do have people living in trees. Like, it does happen.
What do you mean you have people living in trees?
You know, like in the hills, they build like trees and they just live there. And they don't have they just live in the trees.
People
it's like
live
that.
In a treehouse?
But it's not like HGTV. It's like a treehouse without electricity. It just happens. That's okay. Not where I live. But it's out
That's
there.
Where Donathan lives.
Okay. Donathan, it's okay. Once again, I love you.
Why can't they get any of these treehouse people on Survivor?
I don't know. We got to talk to casting about that.
I mean, hey, treehouse person, I don't know if they have podcasts in the treehouse. They're like, hey, I'm ready for Survivor. I live in the hills of Kentucky. I've been living in a treehouse for the last 17 years. I've been preparing all my life for this moment on Survivor.
I'm ready. Yeah, I know. It needs to happen. I don't know who to talk to about it, but they should really just have a Survivor theme based of Kentucky. Yeah. That, my friend, would be a hit.
Now, are you from Kentucky originally?
So originally I'm from Missouri, but I've been in Kentucky for over a decade. So when people ask me, sometimes I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'm from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am. I don't know. What do you say when you've lived in a state for over 10 years?
I don't know. I mean,
but
I'm originally from New York and I've lived in California now for, I think, like 14 years. But I think I'd probably say I live in California, but I'm from New York.
Okay, so that's what you say. That's what I'll say. I'm from Missouri, but I live in Kentucky. You know, when I got on the show, a lot of people were offended when I like said I'm from Kentucky. Wait, I'm from Missouri. Oh, nope, I live in Kentucky. I had friends like back and forth being like, Jessica, like, don't forget.
Who got offended? Lee?
Yes, Lee was super offended. He was like, Jessica, like, you live in, like, you're from Lexington. And I'm like,
that's
no,
how
I'm
he
not.
Talks?
No, I mean, kind of.
All right, you want to talk about Wendell. What is it that you see going on here with Wendell after he picks up another advantage last night? It's his first, but I think it was the third on the show.
I just see Wendell as this really attractive, genuine, sneaky kind of player.
No, you know, he's like the word people. Attractive. You used that word to describe Dami and to describe Wenny. Do you mean it as that as somebody that you want to align with in the game?
Yes. I don't know why I keep using the word attractive. Somehow it slipped into my vocabulary this week. I called my doctor attractive and he's not. He's 80 and he has a beer belly. Like, he's not attractive at all, but I told someone I mentioned him as an attractive physician, but meaning mostly I like him. Like, you know, it's weird. I should stop saying that. It's going to confuse somebody.
So somebody you would like to work with as a colleague, you use the word attractive.
Yes. Attractive. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. That's exactly what I'm doing. I would choose to work with Wendell. And I also like kind of feel where he's coming from. I think it was last episode, he like made the recognition that he's been between Dominic and the babe model. What is his name?
Chris.
The babe, Chris. Chris. Yes. And, you know, he's in between these two powerhouses. They both like Wendell, but they don't like each other. And it's kind of like
he's the glue.
He's the glue. Yes. And so we haven't really seen too much of that develop, but I really relate to that feeling of being the glue of people who are bickering. That's how I felt with Ben and Cole. That's how I felt with Ben and Joe. That's how I felt with Mike and Cole. Like, I just felt like,
what
I
about
was in the
Mike
middle,
and Joe?
And I just, oh God, if I was the glue for anyone, it was Mike and Joe, and they both owe me a thank you. They both do. I have not received it yet, but you are welcome. You are welcome. So I relate to Wendell's, like, where he's naturally where his natural self has brought him. And I think it's a really good place to be. It didn't work out for me. Yeah. But, you know, Wendell found this great idol, and hopefully he doesn't give it away like a Looney Tune, and he can use it to his advantage.
All right. That's so interesting what you're talking about in terms of being the connector between people who don't like each other, especially as we're talking about Wendell heading into the merge, because, you know, it's been a big storyline this season. Chris hates Dominic. Yeah. Dominic hates Chris. Yeah. They're calling each other names in the preview for next episode. But Wendell, I think, is the interesting person because he can either pick a side and say, okay, Dominic's too much of a loose cannon. I like him better personally, but he's a loose cannon, and I don't know what he's going to do next. And then you have Chris. He is somebody who I wouldn't really love hanging out with, but he's a little more stable. I know where he's coming from. Or he could do the third thing, which is try to keep the peace, which you would think would be putting some really big shields up in front of him that you feel like he's got a lot of room to maneuver if he can pull that off. So what do you think is the best move for Wendell?
I 100% think that he does not need to keep the peace. I mean, I just think it's a bad move. Because he needs to pick a side and dive hard, take the risk and move forward. In my opinion, just from my experience, I mean, I'm reliving as we're talking, I'm reliving so many moments that did not make my edit between Ben and Joe. And all I did was try to keep the peace. And all I did was totally miss what was coming my way. And that's what will happen to Wendell if he tries to keep the peace between two characters who are not going to pick who are not going to have peace. They are going to come after each other. And Wendell, I don't think, needs to make the mistake of trying to keep the peace in fear that, let's say, he's trying to keep the peace with Dom and he's defending Chris. Well, Dom could, I don't know why I'm calling him so many names, Dom, Dommy.
Well,
whatever.
It's funny for me that my son's name is Dominic and he doesn't like to be called anything but Dominic. So if you call him Dommy or Dom, he'll say, my name is Dominic.
Oh, God, I hope Dominic doesn't.
I don't know if Dominic Abate feels that way.
We'll find out. Maybe he'll miss it.
But for the sake of this conversation, I like Dommy.
Okay, I do too, right?
Yeah.
It lightens the load. So Dommy could, you know, get this conversation, hypothetical situation. Dommy wants Chris out. Dommy's talking to Winnie. And Winnie's like, Dommy, no, dude. We can trust Chris. He's on our side.
Chrissy.
And Dommy's like, No. And so then Dommy goes to Chelsea and is like, no, we can't trust Wendell. He wants to keep Chris in. We got to get Wendell out. Who cares about Chris? He's going later anyway. You know what I mean? Like the scenario just doesn't happen well. He needs to pick a side and it should be Dommy's.
But don't you think that Naviti could stick together for a couple of votes? I know that they have the majority going in. Now there's 8 Naviti and 5 Malolo, but all of a sudden you get rid of a Naviti, like let's say you get rid of Chris, and now all of a sudden now there's only 7 Naviti and there's 5 Malolo. Like, aren't you asking for trouble at some point? Like, wouldn't it be easier to knock out a couple of these guys, a Michael, a Libby, a Donathan, Laurel, and just get it down lower and then go after each other?
Oh, I 100% agree with that in theory. Like, that's what they should do theoretically. I just don't think that's what's going to happen. When you have characters like Chris and Dommy, they can't see, what is the phrase? Oh, God, I'm going to mess this up because I suck. The forest
for the tree people.
Thank you. They're the tree people, and they can't see through to the city that's across the highway. Like, take 5 steps and you're in Louisville, but instead you're living in the trees. So no, like I will be shocked if Dommy and Chris stay together because they are living in the trees and they're fighting over a bird to eat instead of walking into Louisville and going to Ruby Chris's a steak.
Is the bird that you're eating, is that on Survivor or that's what the tree people are fighting over?
That's a detail that doesn't matter. It's a bird.
So, do you feel like that Dominic's side has the advantage, and you think Wendell will fall in line with that?
That's my hope. My hope for Wendell is that he goes with Dom. My hope is that they all stay together. I just don't see that happening because of, you know, actually, let me just back up for a minute. Let me calm my emotions down. I am remembering a lot of things from my season.
You have a lot of repressed memories that are coming out now.
Yes, yes. You know, we bickered, we fought. Before the merge, it was like, Joe and Mike, who is going to cut each other first? With all hope, you know, of making the merge together. Well, once we made the merge, though there was still strife between them, and eventually, you know, the strife would have continued, they got back together post-merge. Even though there was still like, I don't trust you, but we are the healers. We will go to the end together. I think that could happen with this group post-merge. Maybe they can forget everything that happened pre-merge, all the bickering, because it is a competition. Like, if you go to tribal, one person is getting voted out of this small tribal now, or we're this like big family in the trees. So maybe they can kind of put by, like, what's the phrase? Bygones be bygones.
Yeah.
And just move forward until they have a confident number, and then they can weed them out.
But I feel like there's more bad blood here between Chris and Dominic than there was between anybody that was in season 35 at that point in time.
No, I do agree with that. There was some pretty bad heat between Joe and Mike, but Dom and Chris are like, I guess I'm looking at them
physically.
I feel
like that Joe has heat with almost everybody where, you know, he's, you know, that's just like how Joe is.
Joe has heat, but he never had heat with me and Desi.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Maybe because we're females. I don't know. He pretty much had heat with everyone else. Love you, Joe. Love you. You know.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, he has a lot of friction with people. I mean, that's kind of what it's like. But like Chris and Dominic, like, seem like they really have a strong dislike for one another. There's like no trust there whatsoever.
Yeah, and can we talk about that? When did that start?
It started on day one that Chris was the captain for the first challenge, and he picked Desiree to do the puzzle, and then they had that hourglass, and then he turned over the hourglass and said basically that I resign from the challenge, we surrender, and then they ended up getting like a small fishing kit for that, and then Jeff Probst said, yeah, like, hey, does anybody here disagree with that decision? And Dominic's like, yeah, I thought it was a bad decision. Not sure why he did that.
Yes, right.
And then.
Yes, that's right.
From that point on, Chris was like, I don't trust this guy. And he pulled over Sebastian. And then they started talking about Dominic. And that's when Dominic, he found the idol. And then he brought in Chris and said, hey, I know you think I'm looking for the idol, but look, I got a fake idol. And Chris was like, I don't trust that. And then it's been like that since then.
Oh, yeah, yes, thank you for that entire memory. There's bad blood there.
On Survivor.
Yes, they're like two guys in the gym measuring each other's biceps.
Well, okay, like, that's good. Thank you for keeping
it. You know what I mean? Are you following me?
Yes, yes.
I lost you. It's okay, I lost you. It's fine. It's fine. But no, I do agree that there's bad blood there, and I hope to see a war. I really, you know, as a viewer, I hope to see a war. But when I think about the game, I hope they stick together because that's what they should do.
Okay.
But they won't. Let's be honest. They're men.
Well, then, so what you're advocating for Wendell is pick a side, probably the Dominic side, and then he has, like, still a meat shield in front of him to get to the end. But Jess, I do feel like that it's a little bit of a dangerous game that he would be playing there. And I do think that there are a lot of survivors who thought, hey, let me go along with the person who's running things, and then I will get to the end and I will win, where that did not work out for those people. Do you think that there is danger in that plan as well?
Absolutely. And that's just a chance you take. I think the thing with Wendell, you know, you get to the end so many different ways. And, you know, like everyone says, you build a resume. And I was actually speaking with Rourke, my dear friend, obviously from my season. And I think that we were talking about, like, I don't know who asked us this question, but like, is it better to get to the end with a resume of winning a lot of challenges, or is it better to get to the end with a resume of finding idols?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a perfect world,
I mean, that's basically Survivor 35.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And maybe that's why we were talking about it. You know, and Wendell, what Wendell has that, you know, a lot of people didn't have when getting to the end with someone who might play a little more deviously, you know, maybe Wendell's devious. Who knows? We haven't really seen that side of him yet. But he did find a spectacular idol. You know, if he plays it right, that could certainly build his resume. That could, if he did, you know, partner with Dom to get to the end, like, who knows what he could do with that. So I'm excited to see, like, his potential and kind of creating his own game with the cover of Dominic.
Yeah. It's very interesting to have, you know, now Wendell has his own idol that Dominic doesn't know about, that Dominic has an idol that Wendell does know about, so that there is a little bit of a inequality of the information sharing right now. So where Wendell knows where two of the idols are, Dominic only knows where his own is.
Exactly. And so I hope that, like, you know, right now, obviously the game's played, but I would hope that he would start thinking about different ways he can use that knowledge. Again, like when you, if you go in with the strategy, and I don't know if anyone ever really walks into that strategy of really planning on, you know, aligning with someone who might play a little, you know, more hardcore. What's the verbiage I want to use? I don't know.
Underhanded.
I like it. Like when you do kind of have that mentality of, yeah, like let me have someone cover me as a shield. You have to be careful because then you create this like psychotic realm where you think you're playing a game, but it's not happening in reality. You know, going back to Bradley, like Bradley really thought like they got me out because they thought I was a threat and I was going to align with Kendall. But really, no, they didn't like you. That's why they didn't like you. Period. Like there's, we all want to believe that there was like something, you know, magical of why we got voted out. Sometimes it is because we're a threat and sometimes people just don't like you. I like you, Bradley. I like you. And they like you now. I think at the time they didn't like you. I'm not trying to be mean. You know what I mean?
Nobody thinks you're trying to be mean.
Okay. I'm just being honest. It's like I'm at my psychology session. I don't go to a psychologist, by the way. I do support that. My dad is a psychologist.
Yes. So, yes. You were going to go to school for psychology, right?
I was. And then I realized, whoa, too much. Can't deal with someone else's thoughts. Mine are crazy enough. So I went into nursing instead.
Yes. So I want to talk about some other people that are in this group with Wendell and Chris. And that is Jenna and Sebastian, and I would love to get your take on. Now, again, they have not been really too much of a focus, but it does seem as though we have another couple pairing up here on the beautiful Fiji beaches. And so for them, though, they've been sort of like they only went to the one tribal council one tribal council since we've seen them together on the show, two total together. Do you think that they're going to be seen as a target?
I think that's coming their way. I would really, you know, I just want to defend them to the death because I'm like, no, they won't be seen as a target. They're just friends. But I've lived it.
You lived it.
I've lived it. I've loved it. I've fought it. So I think that if they're not careful, they will very much fall into the same trap that many of us have been in denial over. They're not my favorite characters. I'm not too into. Well, let me take that back. I really need to know how Sebastian got his eyebrows. I can't hardly.
Sebastian's eyebrows. Hold on. Let me look this up.
Have you looked at his eyebrows? Somebody.
No, we're in uncharted water. You're impressed with them or you're unimpressed?
No, look at them, Rob. They're perfect. Somebody, he got his eyebrows done for the show. I know he did. I'm going to find out. I am eyebrow envy over here.
Okay.
In Kentucky. Are you looking it up right now?
I'm going to look it up now. So what is it about Sebastian that he has perfect smelling hair, that he has perfect eyebrows, that is he immortal?
No, he doesn't. Do you think he looks immortal? No, I'm not. No, I don't think he's immortal at all. I think he's a really normal person with really great eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like, I have yet to see this, like, mortal figure being of a person that I have heard. I think that Jenna, I will give her some credit because, you know, I feel like the scene where, you know, she's, like, smelling his hair, like, she did verbalize, you know, I'm doing what I have to do. Like, she was on the bottom. I'm building a relationship with him because I have to. Whereas me, that was not my thought process. I really did like Cole in that moment. You know, I wasn't like, you know, so there was, I wasn't going into it strategically. He really was my best person beside me. Whereas I think Jenna, again, in that edit, it did make it sound like, and I'll give her some credit, that it was kind of a strategic, let me smell your hair and then I'm going to braid it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see where that goes. I do think that it's a dangerous trap. And like I tell my past self, she should just run. Just keep going, Jenna.
Yeah.
Just keep walking.
But
forget the eyebrows. Stop looking at the eyebrows.
But from her position in the game, and let's pretend that this is all strategic, and it's not that she's just fallen head over heels with perfect eyebrows and nice smelling hair. But she is somebody who is from that group of Malolo that's down to five people. Do you like the play just simply based on there are eight Naviti, and if Seabass can vouch for her in some way, will that keep her safer longer?
She doesn't have a choice. Like, she has to kind of get in somewhere, and I think that her gameplay and getting in however she can is the best move she can make. So if that's, you know, snipping hair, complimenting eyebrows, whatever, she should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, the numbers are not on her side.
Yeah, because I think the difference here, as opposed to what happened with you and Cole, and, you know, I talked to Figgy a couple of weeks ago, and what went on with her and Taylor was that they, from the original starting tribe, I wonder if that's seen as more threatening as opposed to two people who come together after the swap or after the merge, where it's looked at as like a little bit of a different animal as opposed to this unbreakable bond of people that have been together since day one.
Oh, I think that there's absolutely that persona. You know, I was with Cole from day one and we just kept winning. So not only were we on a winning tribe, we kept winning together. And so we had this whole strength thing going on, and there was obviously whatever was happening on the island that's very much past. But there was, you know, certainly people saw that, whereas, you know, Jenna and, you know, Sebastian are just kind of kindling up this, what do you call it? I don't even want to use the L word. Ugh. Just something.
Use a showmance.
Let's use the word mystical man.
Mystical, like, man. Wait, why mystical man?
I just want to get rid of showmans. That makes my stomach turn. You know, like, let's just move to a different term.
Mystical man.
Let's change everything. I don't think that it'll take some time for other people to see what's going on. If she's truly being strategic, which I'm really going to give her the benefit of the doubt because I really want to, then I think that it'll go more silent than the way it happened with Cole and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that no one will really notice because right now I do think the light's on other people like Dominic and Chris and Wendell. I don't think really anyone's paying attention to Jenna and Sebastian, and I don't think anyone will for a while. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Now, you mentioned that on the tribe that you were on with Cole, you guys continued to win and win and win, and that according to the records that we have of our research, that you and Cole and Dr. Mike had 10 consecutive challenge wins in Survivor HHH. You guys were like the anti-Malolo.
Dang, holla.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, very, very strong challenge record. No flag burning going on with you.
That's right. Listen, when I think about my season, like, that's you know, people like to come out with some type of good reputation. And so if I have to come out with, you know, a showman that didn't really work for me, I'm glad to come out with a record of strong wins with my team. So yes. Proud of that. Ding.
Yes. I believe you and Cole and Dr. Mike, the only people to ever win every challenge in the pre-merge of Survivor.
Rob, just keep throwing these compliments out over here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to be fair, I think we just pull these off the Survivor Wiki, but you know, I don't want to take credit for
Survivor Wiki is really legit, everyone.
Yeah, it is.
Pay attention.
Ask Andrew Savage. It certainly is. So, all right. I want to talk with you a little bit about the Ghost Island and everybody who goes out there. And we saw Kellen again go out there this week. She ends up coming away with an advantage. She plays the game this time around. Do you feel like if you were on Ghost Island, would you risk your vote to get one of these advantages?
100%. I was really disappointed when she didn't play the game the first time. And it's hard for me to, like, I would like to say if I were in that situation, I feel like I would play. Because you should. You're playing Survivor. Like, let's take risks and let's just throw it all out there. So I was very excited to see that she actually played the game this time. And it benefited her. You know, we saw that. She was crying. And it just, the game takes so much out of you. What a treasure that was for her to come out with such a find. I was really happy for her. I love seeing it.
And what do you think about Kellen as a character on the show?
She's definitely a character. She's goofy, but in the best kind of way. I think that she should definitely, she's, you know, vocal. I don't know if I thought kind of going, reading all the, you know, pregame stuff, I didn't think that she was going to be as vocal as we've seen. I feel like she's gotten some good airtime and a lot of character development and kind of seeing her story and what she's walked through in her past. And I feel like I know her more than some of the other people from the show during, you know, the past couple weeks. So I'm definitely a fan. A little goofy. I don't know how she would be able to play with. She kind of seems opinionated, which maybe I'm just perceiving her wrong. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see like how she handles the guys post-merge, because they kind of have, like, maybe I'm wrong, this girl trio going, like what her, Desiree, and the army chick, Angela?
Angela, right.
Did I make that up? Okay, good. No, so they kind of have this, like, girl thing going. And so I was excited to see them voting together. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be, like, a girls' alliance? Are we going this direction? I would love to see that develop, you know, in the next coming weeks. I don't know if it will. I think as a viewer, it's really exciting.
Well, that's
to think
a good
about
point.
That. And I think
you bring up that, you know, the issue here at Naviti, the core of it does seem to be that it is Chris versus Dami. And you wonder, is there room there for the women of Naviti? Can they get along well enough to the point that they could be this sort of dominant force moving forward? And then could they pick up some of these other Malolo castoffs as well, like a Donathan and a Libby?
Oh, God, they totally could. I think Libby would 100% flip over to a strong female powerhouse. And Donathan would, too. I love you, Donathan.
Yeah, like, he would.
Yeah, they could totally change us around. And, you know, when I think about characters like Dominic and Chris, they would be totally stumped. Like, I think that I'm imagining them with, like, deer in the headlight looks. If, you know, Kellen and Desiree and Angela and Libby and Donathan all decided, like, screw all of you macho people. We're going solo. And then convincing Wendell to give them his idol. You know, there's so many ways this could
go.
Well,
yeah, I mean, we brought back so many things from Fans versus Favorites last night. Yeah. I mean, maybe the Black Widow Brigade is going to be the next thing that's going to come back. And then Wendell loses his idol. The same as Eric Reichenbach.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see if, you know, Angela. Well, it could. You never know.
I guess so.
You never know.
Hey, these curses have not been able to be reversed so far.
Very true. Very true.
So, yeah, I think that's very interesting. Now, we were talking about Wendell and how he is going to handle the upcoming, the looming battle of Chris versus Dami. But I think that Kellen is another one of these, you know, major figures that is in an interesting spot, because it felt like coming into this week, she was Navidi strong, and specifically that she was aligned with Dami, because that her and Bradley and Wendell and Morgan, they were working together before the very first swap. But how do you think that Kellen is going to react to learning that it was Dami and Chelsea who sort of orchestrated taking out somebody who was one of her closest allies in the game?
Oh, I don't think it's going to go well at all. I think that when it all comes out, I'm just imagining that when this all comes out, because it probably will, she will feel very betrayed by Dominic. I can't remember her and Dominic's rapport together before everything kind of.
I don't think we saw much of it. I think they were split up from, you know, that second night of the show. We saw the 2 hours. Okay. They didn't go to a tribal council. I don't think we really saw them interact, and then they split up.
Okay. Well, then that kind of speaks to what I was thinking. I can only imagine Kellen's personality and his not meshing at all. They're both aggressive, but in different ways. I would assume, like, I would love to see her psychological testing, because I'm pretty sure she's like, she falls on this line of an aggressive lover.
Aggressive, like, lover.
That's what I was. I feel like, I mean, because we're aggressive, but at the same time, we're really loving and caring. But like, don't tell me what to do, but then I'm going to give you a hug at the same time. I kind of see her as that, whereas Dami is not. He's aggressive. He's not loving. So I think that when this comes out, she's going to feel betrayed.
And I'm sure he's loving in his real life.
Possibly. You never know.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Absolutely he is. But in Survivor, he's not, which is great. That's why I like him.
Is the scale that you're talking about? Aggressive lover? Are these clinical terms, or are these things that you do have a special Jessica Johnston scale?
So these are actually, so the verbiage aggressive lover would be a Jessica Johnston scale. However, there is an actual, I forget the exact, there's so many different types of clinical testing. My dad did this to me just because he wanted to make sure I was a normal person. So he made me take this really long exam. And then after, so it's like this, you know, imagine a straight line. On the left-hand side, it's all these really dominant characteristics. Like when you think of a dominant person, like you talk first, you make decisions.
A dominant person?
A dominant person, yes. And then on the far right, you have all of these really female characteristics, loving, caring, tenderhearted. And so when I did my testing and the results came out, I was like sky high on dominance. And then I went to normality. But then I went sky high on characters of loving and forgiving and compassionate. So I peaked on both levels. My dad was like, interesting. This makes perfect sense of who you are. That's the scale. Did you picture that? Were you following?
It's getting a little lost. So should I be administering psychological evaluations to my kids?
I don't know. I guess if you think that I'm a normal person and I'm a healthy individual, then it was to my benefit that my dad.
Do we know what the name of this test is, in case any of the listeners want to take it?
Oh man, I don't. I could call Dr. Jeffrey and ask him.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter. I know at the very least, Stephen Fishback loves this kind of stuff.
Oh, I'll definitely. I'll tweet it. Don't worry, because I'm such a good tweeter. I can't spell anything. Please forgive me, anyone who sees my stuff.
Okay. So that I really feel like that the two people that we've seen the most from, you know, confessional wise, have been Wendell and Kellen. Do you think, is there some sort of a meeting of the minds of the more moderate members, the more moderate vocal members of Naviti to sort of get on the same page? Do you think that maybe those two things that we're talking about could potentially end up being a big factor in Wendell and Kellen?
I think, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they are, I mean, they're definitely getting a lot of, you know, edit time.
And they're the cooler heads of the powerhouses of Navigi.
Yes. Yes, they're not like the extreme people, but they are the knowledgeable, good with their words, good with their emotions. Like, let's calm the fire and move forward, which could be to their benefit if they can start working together. That would be very interesting.
Like the Mount Rushmore of Naviti. I, in my mind, I think it's Dami, Wenny, Kellen, and Chris. I think that's like the big four of Naviti.
Oh, my God. If they could start working together, can you imagine the possibilities?
Well,
I mean,
look, now, again, Bradley is gone now. So Kellen needs like a, you know, reliable number two that she could count on. I don't know too much about what her relationship could be like with Wendell. But I think if those two could potentially pair up, I think that they could really sort of be driving this thing where, you know, that Dami is a little more at the extremes and so is Chris. But I think that, you know, you have Wenny and Kellen. I think that they have a lot of people that they have connections to that they could really be a force.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I feel like Desiree, you know, is right up Kendall. Like, I'm getting the Kendall and Wendell's and Wenny and Dommies.
Yeah, you're making up a new person in Kendall. That's although that could be their alliance name. That's like a great name for Kellen and Wendell.
So hard. I make things up too much. It's funny. Kellen, like Kellen. That's why I'm getting mixed up. Helen Keller.
Helen Keller. Don't bring her into this.
Kellen. No, she's in a really good spot overall. Like, she really has a lot of possibilities moving in, you know, moving into the merge. She could really hit Wendell hard. She could put an ear in Wendell and turn him against Dami if she wanted, if she played the game. She could pull him over and bring him and Donathan and Libby.
That seems dangerous.
It is. It gets, I mean, convoluted, but there are so many things that she could do. I just feel like she pulled Angela to vote for her, you know, last night. Desiree's following her. I feel like she has a lot of cards to play.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be very, very interesting in terms of, like, it could be just an open and shut case. Everybody is on board for Chris, you know, that he could get, you know, 10 votes coming up at the merge. Or there could be something that happens that's like just a total blindside to us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to see some mixed matching madness happen. So I hope it's not like a black and white, like, let's get Chris out, he's gone, unless it's a good blindside. I think that as a viewer, we all want to see something crazy, and I do hope for that.
Okay, Jessica, I want to start to bring in some of the questions from our listeners, if that's okay for you. And let me bring in a question from one of our listeners, Spencer, who wants to ask you about Bradley. And he says, let me get right into it. I'm having a hard time classifying Bradley as a villain this season. It seems as though people use him complaining, whining, being annoying, and his general dickishness to justify him being a villain. But are these really the qualities of a villain? To me, a villain is someone who will lie to your face and backstab you in the same breath. Someone that intentionally causes chaos by hiding things like a Russell Hance. Someone that attacks someone verbally. Someone claiming others' truths to be false. There are many more examples, but you get the point. Bradley didn't do any of this. He was loyal to his alliance. He didn't really give false hope to anybody, and he wasn't intentionally mean towards others. Do you see Bradley as a villain, Jessica?
Dear Spencer, I do agree with everything you said, except for one thing. You said that he wasn't intentionally mean. I kind of disagree. I kind of think that maybe he was unaware, but I do think that he was being kind of harsh in his communication with Donathan, and sometimes Dominic. I think that he was kind of cocky. I would not characterize him as a villain at all. I do agree with that. I think that he was socially unaware of how people were perceiving him, and that was ultimately the downfall of his game. Whereas, you know, he even claimed to not be a patient person, and I think that we saw that last episode. He really had a hard time, you know, getting the food ready and the coffee and just little bitty things around camp. But when you're in that environment and they take away everything from you, and you're feeling antsy and frustrated, it's best to keep your mouth shut. And he didn't. So I don't think he was a villain. I kind of think he was intentionally mean sometimes. Yeah, there's my answer.
To me, I think that Bradley was a villain, but almost in a throwback way, in that he was the type of villain that you would see on Survivor in the first couple of seasons, like a Richard Hatch or a Jerry Manthe, in that they were not really people who were doing terrible things to people. I mean, they weren't big liars. And in fact, I think both of those people were really loyal to their alliances, but they would complain about things, and the other players would complain about living with them. And both of them sort of were hated people during the time that the show aired. And you could look at it now and say, like, well, what did they really do that was that bad, as opposed to some of the other really bad behavior that we've seen on Survivor? And I think that's what I liked so much about Bradley.
You know, but you have to be careful. Like, when people ask why people got voted out, sometimes it's for really shallow reasons. You know, when you talk about the Hanses of the game in general, like, yeah, they do vicious things and people don't like them either. But I think this early on in the game, basically, you just want to make it to the merge. And if it's not your name and you kind of don't like the person, that's the best person to go for. And when I was watching it, I almost felt like that's what was happening with Bradley. Was the thing is, I think that he would have been loyal to his alliance. I don't think that he would have turned unless he had to. So in that manner, like, he's a good person to keep around. But when you have multiple people being totally annoyed with behavior, which in my season, it was Joe. Before we split, we were going to vote out Mike, but Joe's behavior was so overwhelmingly unaccepted that suddenly he became the number one out. Not because he was at that point playing viciously. We just couldn't live with him anymore and we didn't like him anymore. Still love you, Joe, if you're listening. But like, that's what happens in the game. And I think that Bradley dug that hole and people really stopped wanting him in the game because of his social behavior.
Now, I'm interested in terms of your game, that I know that in talking with Dr. Mike, that he said that you were a very close ally of his. And I know in talking with Joe that Joe said, you know, you were a close ally of his. Was that simultaneous, or were you tighter with Joe and then he swapped and then Dr. Mike sort of took his place?
Let me just explain something to you, Rob.
Please.
So when I was in that, it was at the same time I was aligned with them as closely together at the same time. And that's how I live my life. It's very, very exhausting. I have this magical capability of forming these relationships that are real, but they're the same, but with opposite people. I was as close to Mike as I was to Joe, like at the same time. And it just happened. And really it was a matter of what do I do and when do I do what? Yeah, I was close to both of them. It wasn't ever back and forth. On day one, I was close to Joe. On day two, I was close to Mike. And from then on, it was like, oh God, what do I do with myself? What have I done? I was in a position of Wendell. Like, you have these two people. How do you manage both of them when they both think that you're with them? And I was with both of them. Again, I didn't have the opportunity to see kind of where that game went, but it just naturally happened.
And do you regret how you handled it? Do you feel like, as we're talking about Wendell and you look at the position that he's in, and as you're talking about that Wendell needs to pick a side, do you feel like that you should have gone all in with one of those two?
100%. I should have gone all in with somebody. I think but it really wasn't between Joe and Mike because we all made it to the merge. I should have gone in all with Ben or all with Joe and just figured out what happened. But because I didn't go all in and I tried to be sneaky and I tried to talk with Joe about Ben and I tried to talk with Ben about Joe, Ben ended up hearing a private conversation I had with Joe and he was like, oh God, we got to get Jessica out. You know what I mean? Like,
and then was the issue that all of them ended up thinking, well, it doesn't matter, she's all in with Cole anyway.
Yeah. Like, that didn't help my case at all.
Right.
Like, it was basically like,
you were spread too thin.
Yeah, I dug myself a hole and I didn't even know I was in it.
You said hole?
Yes, hole, not coal. Okay. Let's just laugh for 5 minutes. Let's just laugh.
All right. Edward Morris wants to know, the great Edmo wants to know from you, would you treat an 18-year-old and a 23-year-old the same? Now, we obviously know, Michael, we haven't talked much about him today, that he is somebody who is lying about his age. Would you treat somebody in the game differently if they were 23 versus 18?
Probably not. I think if he was going to lie about his age, he should have bumped that number up to like 27. Like 23 and 18, you're either finishing college or you just started a new job. Like you're not that far different. I wouldn't treat 18 and 23 any different. I would still think you're slightly, well, I hate to use the word immature because I've met really immature 28-year-olds too.
And he's a very mature 18-year-old.
Exactly. So no, he's very attractive.
Now you mean you want to like make an alliance with him?
Correct. That's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. Yes. So I think that if he was going to lie, he should have bumped up that age. I don't think anyone would care between 18 and 23. However, you know, good for him for trying that, and maybe to in their eyes, because they're all relatively young, I believe. I don't have their ages memorized, but they're kind of on the same playing field, correct?
It's a young cast. Yeah, it's a young cast.
It's a young cast. So if he like was honest with his age, I think everyone would be like, wow, you're really mature for 18. I think it could have gone both ways. Yeah. I'm not overly excited about that lie.
Okay.
I'm unimpressed.
To bring it back to your birthday, do you remember what day it was in Survivor 35 that it was your birthday last year?
Yeah, it was our first challenge. So whatever day this season, what day did they have their first challenge?
Day three.
That was my birthday. Yeah, it fell on my birthday. Day three.
Yeah, you celebrated with a win, I believe. And it was you and Dr. Mike, I believe, if I recall correctly, that got the ball through the puzzle.
I wish it was actually Desi and Dr. Mike. But okay.
You were right there.
Rourke and we were the ear of wisdom. Yes, I was telling him what to do the whole way. That was one of the best days of my entire life. I woke up on an island on my birthday with people I didn't know, loving on me, hugging on me, telling me happy birthday. And then we see Jeff, we win. The whole day was my birthday. It was amazing.
Yes.
I love my birthday.
Yes, I have to issue a retraction. Last night on the Know-It-Alls, I said that I thought it was one step too far when Wendell made the tribe sing happy birthday to his girlfriend, Nicole, back home. I rewatched the episode this morning, and he says it's his girlfriend's birthday. Then they sing happy birthday, but I don't know who initiated happy birthday. For all I know, Seabass could have said, hey, let's sing happy birthday to Nicole. So I have to issue a retraction last night.
Well, you want to know, your thought was better than mine. Sometimes I get kind of, I don't know, this weird feeling in my head. And so when I saw him singing to his girlfriend, I was like, your girlfriend's not even here. Like, what are you doing? But sometimes I get kind of weird in my head.
Yeah, but I bet she loved it last night.
She did. That's awesome. Good for both of them. So happy for you.
Yeah. So let me ask you this question. This is from Jonathan Lilia, who says, does Jessica have any advice for Kellen on the pressure of being Rob's winner pick? What's that like living with that?
I mean, it's a really good feeling.
It's a good feeling.
You know, the thing is when you're playing the game, you obviously don't know your Rob's winner pick. But I will tell you, when everything came out and, you know, I listened to the podcast and I was like, wow, what? I really did feel, I'm not just saying this because I'm verbally talking to you right now. I did feel a sense of like, what did I say or how did I present myself in such a way that out of all these people, you were like, yeah, that girl has something. Mm-hmm. So I felt really honored. And yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, man, what did I say? Like to make him be like, yeah, oh, girl's got it. She has it, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, I'm looking for a lot of things, but I think I'm looking for somebody who is can get along with everybody. I mean, is excited to be out there in the game and feels like that they can, you know, at least hold their own in these physical challenges, and somebody who seems like they know the game to some degree. And you checked off all those boxes, and I am feeling good about that pick, even though it didn't work out talking to you here today.
I'm glad I can be that person for you on your grid.
Yeah, so you did a good job, and I feel, even though it didn't work out, look, Survivor, even if you made the best person in the entire world at Survivor and they played the game 100 times, they're not going to win 100 times. So, you know,
much chance in the game. Like, there is so much chance. It's ridiculous. Which makes it so wonderful and heartbreaking all at the same time.
Right. If you put the perfect Survivor player out there, I still think that they would probably only win at best like 30, 40% of the time. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I love telling people that, like, you know, coming back and having people ask, like, is it real? I'm like, yeah, it's real. And there's so much chance involved in that game. You can only play with the cards you're giving and hope to God the cards are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, with all of these tribal councils and 20 players and all these advantages, you know, the chances of the person who might, you know, according to the your dad's chart, be the best Survivor player, that person is going to win even less.
Exactly. I mean, this aggressive lover did not win. And
well, that would be great to know who is the, like, what is, like, what is the person who is the best Survivor player? What are they? Is aggressive lover the best one?
Exactly. And I forgot to tell you this. This is really interesting. I'm definitely going to tweet what this exam was. In casting, they actually did, of course, you know, a huge evaluation. And one of the exams or whatever we took basically said the same thing when I sat down with, I love her and I'm the worst person alive.
What's Dr. Liza?
No, the other one I love.
Well, I don't know. The other one wasn't there when I was there.
Okay. Well, Dr. Tara. So she sits down and she was like, tell me a story about your work environment, working with physicians and being, this was like when I was not a nurse practitioner, but when I was a nurse, she was like, give me a story. And I just told her a little one about how a physician told me to do something. And I was like, I don't think that's right. No, no, no. And I corrected him, blah, blah, blah. The story goes on. And she just sat there smiling. And she was like, the reason why I'm smiling is because your chart shows this extreme dominance, but this extreme compassion loving individual. And that's exactly the story you just told me. And I was like, huh, this is so peculiar. I'm going to have to figure out what exam it was.
No, it's really amazing that the psychological testing that they do for these shows like Survivor and Big Brother. And my story of getting on Survivor is that I applied to be on Big Brother first, and I went through all the casting for Big Brother, and I had a close call with Big Brother, and then ultimately, a few months later, I got the call, hey, do you want to be on Survivor? Even though I had been a big fan of both of those shows. But in the psychological testing, that, you know, you take like hours of testing, and I sat down with the psychologist. I think he worked for both shows at the time. I have no idea if he still does it. But they were able to tell me, okay, you're the oldest child. You were in a fraternity. Like, they were telling me like but there were not questions on the test about these things, but just based on the answers to the test that this guy told me like all of these things about myself. I was like, well, how did you know all that? Crazy.
It's so crazy.
They
like
know.
She got some stuff out of my past and mine too. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I've dug that down deep. And she was like, oh, well, you kind of showed it in your test scores. And I was like, I really don't want to talk about my love life. Okay. Dr. Tara, like, let's not go
yes.
there.
Yes.
emotional.
Yes. So it is amazing the stuff that they pull out. This is a question. You talked about telling stories. Matt Price has a question. What the F is a face story? And do I want one or would I regret it?
You guys, this is so funny. I'm in awe that I have butterflies. This is the best birthday question ever about face stories. Okay. So Face Story started when I was in college with my best girlfriend. And we would, a lot of times, we would take my Jeep to the field and we would just like sip on, you know, whatever, and just lay in the grass and be ridiculous people. I don't know, just hang out. And we just started telling each other face stories just because, out of nowhere. So you just like have your friend close their eyes and you make up this story on their face with your fingers, and it basically lulls them to sleep. So I brought that to the island, and that's how face stories began.
Can you, tell the listeners right now, I know that you are unable to manipulate their faces, but could you tell us a face story?
Oh God. I'm going to tell. So I hope my dear friend, Dr. Mike, is listening. I'm sure he is. I'm going to give you just like a 30 second part of a face story that I did on him and that he'll remember. So he'll,
I love this story.
Yeah. Oh my God. And he'll probably text you later and tell you. So Mike had his eyes closed and I had my fingers on his forehead. So everyone close their eyes and just imagine it with me. And I would be like, there once was a troll hopping around the flattened forest. And then I would be like, in the bushes of Antarctica. And I would like rub my fingers through his eyebrows.
Did you say bush?
I did say bush. Like, cause your eyebrows are like a bush. Yes. And then I would be like, and your fingers run down the slopes of Colorado, and the slope is your nose. And then circle, you know, the candy canes in Santa Claus's forest. And I would do my fingers around his chin. And then I would go up to his earlobe and I would be like, but then he got lonely and he wanted to meet a friend. And so the troll knocked on the door, knock, 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 knock. And then I would pull his earlobe. So on and on it goes. I won't bore you, but it was really funny and it's very relaxing. And if you're stressed, I highly recommend it.
Okay. I will try this with Nicole the next time that she is stressed. I said, honey, let me, I want to tell you a face story right now. Let me see what she says.
It's really romantic. I think she'll love it.
Oh yeah.
I
bet.
I think just make sure you pull on her earlobe and say, knock, knock, knock,
just
knock.
Stop touching my face. all right, here's where, so this came up. We talked to Dr. Mike back in, we did a long form interview with him after the season, and Dr. Mike alleged something that Felipe wants to ask you about. Would you have really stayed in the game if you gave Ryan the face story? That Dr. Mike thinks it was that close. He thinks one face story for you to Ryan would have completely changed the game.
Okay, so I don't think, just to be honest, I'm not going to give that much credit to my face stories. I don't think it would have changed the game. But let me tell you, Ryan and I, though only on the island together for about one day, had a very strong connection. Like, I was kind of crushing on Ryan. Like, too bad he's very too much young for me. But he's kind of my type. I can't say that it would have changed.
Well, this is huge news.
I know. I feel vulnerable. You have me talking for like an hour
is this a true story that Ryan is your type, but you ended up falling for Cole on the island?
I didn't fall for Cole on the island. Right. The island made us fall together.
Yes, a mystical man. So I know, but that Ryan is your was your type?
I mean, I feel really, my cheeks are red. My cheeks are legit red right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Ryan is kind of my, I'm not going to lie. Ryan, not going to lie. Not going to lie. Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a huge development.
I know.
We'll laugh some more. All right. This is a question from Randy, who wants to know, do you fear this coming merge boot will get the treatment you did and not make the jury? What do you think about this? So we have the legacy advantage that has to be played at 13. It looks like the merge is coming this week. Do you think that person, that first boot at the merge, will not make the jury?
Oh God, I hope they, there's so much. I mean, how do you even answer that? I think when you go to the merge, so many things can happen. There are so many ways that anyone could go anywhere. I would hope that they would actually, make it past that, that the legacy would continue on with the person who has it. But who knows? Like, that's a tough question. Man, that's a tough one. I don't really know if I have an answer for that, because everything changes at the merge. Like, everything I thought would happen didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine, you know, especially there's so many different aspects of this going in. You know, Kellen, you know, if she's going to be mad at Dami, if Dami and Chris are going to beat each other up on the sand, what Wendell's going to do. Like, I think that next episode is going to be one of the best, if I had to guess.
Yes. Yeah, because it really does seem odd. So even looking back in your season, that they had, what, just an 8-person jury, right? Because we have other seasons where there's 10 people on the jury. And that's if the jury starts this week at the merge, which, you know, it usually does. But I guess in some cases it does not, as you know, that we have it only an 8-person jury. So it does seem weird that we play around so much with the number of people on the jury.
Yeah, and I wish I knew why. I know that was a big heartache for me to kind of, you know, digest, you know, why this season? Why is there only 8 people on the jury? And I don't know I really don't know why they do that. I don't know if they have a specific, you know, when it comes to the end, final three, like if they, I don't know, like I have made up a million scenarios in my head, but none of them make sense except for I'll never know. It's kind of like, you'll never know, because no one's ever going to tell you why they pick,
yeah,
you know, 8 versus 9 versus 7. Like, is there any real theory that makes sense?
No, they just,
there's not. I mean, I wish somebody would tell me, it would give me closure.
Yeah. So that, I don't think I know the answer to this. I don't know if you've said this yet, but if you were on the jury, and, you know, we still don't know why you weren't, but if you were, who do you feel like you would have cast your vote for?
Oh, that's a really easy answer. You know, from the final three that were left, it would have gone to Ben.
Ben,
and, of course, I hate to say this because I'm sure people
even
are
though
like,
Ryan was your type.
Yeah, but I had formed a relationship with Ben. Ryan was just like eye candy.
Eye candy. Oh, my God.
I was just being dramatic. I'm slightly dramatic when I, you know, talk. No, but and I say that I keep saying this, and I hope people aren't like, Jessica, like, don't be melodramatic. You don't have a relationship with everyone. But I really did. I really had a tight bond with Ben. And he deserved to win. Like, he played a good, good game. I had rapport with him. I was proud of him. So my vote would have easily had gone to Ben.
But Ben told me that he was a big part of the reason why you got voted out. He said 100%. That he saw you wink. I believe it was at Desi. And he saw that and he said that these two have a bond, and I'm scared of Jessica. She has to be the one to go.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take that as a compliment. Like, I felt like he should have been scared of me. I felt like, of course, I think, again, we all come out of this game with a big ego. Like, I was running the show. Like, who knows if I really was. I felt like I had so many tight bonds with so many people. I just wasn't able to control them all. So, yeah, he was right. I would have never, unless I had to, I would have tried to keep the healer strong and I would have added Lauren into the alliance. And I think that we could have gotten Lauren. If I had known my name had been out there at all, I know that I could have pulled Lauren in with me. I really felt like I could. But Ben recognized with the wink. And I think, you know, he later told me he saw me have a conversation with Joe. And I was pretty passionate in telling Joe, like, what I thought. You know, and he recognized that I did, you know, I felt like I had a voice. So yeah, like, good for him for getting me out. Like, but I still would have given him my vote.
Okay.
Good job, Benny.
Okay. Jessica Frey wants to know, do you think that Chris Noble will join your club of first tribal merge boots? Okay. All right. This is a unique club. There's not a lot of you guys who end up missing tribal council all through the pre-merge, but then having one not so great experience right at the merge, including our good friends RC Saint Amour and the Mayo Jar Nick Majorano.
Do I think Chris will join? I don't think Chris will be the next one.
What a foursome! What a foursome that would be, though.
I mean, come on, right? It would be.
Who wouldn't want to be with
the mayo jar and RC and you.
I know. It would be fantastic. I don't think Chris has a long time left in the game, just from the way he's playing and talking and acting. I think he'll make it through another vote.
I think so, too.
I have no, yeah, I mean, I see him kind of like a Cole. He'll make it. He won't make it to the end. He'll make it far until he becomes too much of a threat.
Or he'll win immunity.
Exactly. So if he were smart, he won't win immunity. If he wins, he's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, if he wins this next immunity, or not immunity, yeah, immunity or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean. Follow me, Rob. Follow me. But if he wins, he'll put a huge target on his back. So I hope he doesn't. I hope he loses. But yeah, I don't think that he'll be the next to join my crew.
Yeah.
I do not.
Okay. All right. This is Randy Neupel wants to know, what is the one part of your game that you wish the Survivor community gave you more credit for? Is there anything?
Oh, absolutely. I think that
the face
stories. Unfortunately. Oh, I totally want credit for the face stories. That's like a legit thing. People can take forever and it's peaceful. Try it and let me know. Tweet it. Face stories.
Yes.
But I think that what I would want credit for, again, I've mentioned this before, is I felt like I was playing a very good game in my head. It just wasn't translating into reality. And so I think that I came out of the game with just a normal reputation of being in a showmance. And to me, it was not a showmance after the first day. Maybe the first day. Fine.
Mystical man.
Mystical manse. But after that, like, Cole was, I mean, he was never going to vote me out. Like, what do you do with that? Like, the guy would have never put my name on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So take that for what you will. But I wish that I had more credit for strategy. I don't think that I had a chance to show it at all. And I feel like I could be pretty fierce if given the shot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would probably be it.
You know, we haven't talked about this, but when you ended up getting the advantage in the potato chip bag where you were able to steal a vote away from somebody or cancel somebody's vote, obviously it was a big thing on the show where then you told Cole about it and then he shared that secret with other people. In the way that we have seen Dami this season, sharing with people both the real idol and also that the fake idol that he's made, do you feel like that is a decision that will come back to bite him?
Oh, it will definitely come back to bite him. It always does, right? Like, we watch these people. I watched myself do it. You tell people, but what viewers don't see is the emotion behind it. Like, I didn't, you know, usually I would hope that people, for example, when I told Cole and Mike, it was because I literally had to make a blind decision for something I couldn't foresee. So it wasn't me telling them to build trust. I already had their trust. They would have never have turned on me. I wasn't telling them because they were my friends. In that moment, I felt like a psycho girl who didn't know what to do. Like, I was going to them for help. Like, I told them, I don't know what to do. Like, let's talk about this. We need to make a good decision for the healers if we merge together. So it ended up coming back and biting me, but I was just trying to make a good decision at the time and I needed help to do it. When I see people tell others about their immunity, you know, sometimes I think that they are just rushing it and they need to be like, okay, like, why am I telling them? Is it because they don't trust me and I need to build trust? Is it because I'm just excited and running with my emotion and I want to tell my best friend? But I think, 9 times out of 10, it comes back and it haunts you and it's not a good thing. So keep your mouth shut, Dami. Okay. No more talking.
All right. Speaking of haunting, Jordan writes to us to say, the camera zoomed in on one bad decision can haunt you forever. Both times Kellen went to Ghost Island. What do you think this means for Kellen, if anything?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it could definitely be like a foreshadowing, you know, event. You know, she's holding this advantage. Correct me if I'm wrong. The advantage she got gave her an extra vote, correct?
Yes. She had an extra vote.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's foreshadowing. Like, how is she going to use this extra vote? She has a lot of power. Like, my hope for her is that she holds onto it until it can really benefit her personally. Like, hopefully she can have a strong enough alliance where they can make moves within the alliance without playing all of her cards, and she can make it closer to the end and really use that to her advantage personally and getting further.
Yep. To be fair, I think that the camera has zoomed in on that sign when every single person has been to Ghost Island.
Well, absolutely, because it's Ghost Island. Like, we have to make it exciting. And we really shouldn't read too much into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I retract everything I just said.
All right. This is a question from one of our listeners named Joe Mena, who says, who do you think would be worse to live with, Joe, Bradley, or Chrissy?
Oh, my God. What kind of question is this? Okay. Let me just preface what I'm about to say. Okay. Joe, I love you.
Joe listens to everything.
Okay. Oh, God.
I think he even listens to Brassy Barbecue. He's everywhere.
He does. He does. I'm going to be honest. Joe, I love you. You are mine. I am yours. But you would be very difficult to live with because you are very high maintenance in what you eat. And I can't cook that well. So you would hate me and I would probably end up hating you. So it would be Joe. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Did anybody have a well-done steak last night when they won the steak reward?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. Did they?
Yes. Are you going to go to the Outback for your birthday tonight later?
No, I don't really like steak. I like chicken, and I'm having pizza because it's my favorite food.
Oh, okay. All right. Any special pizza?
No, everything with meat. Just any kind of meat. That's all I like.
Okay. Then this is also from Joe Mena. Had another question. So usually I get 100 questions from Dr. Mike when I have somebody on the podcast, but today it's Joe has a bunch of questions. What do you think about the lovebird disease this season? Do you think that the strain is stronger this season or last season?
Oh, gosh. No, I think it was definitely strong last season. It was stronger than, you know, what's happening right now. Cole and I certainly had a great bond on the island. Was it a little, you know, blown up? 100%. Was it love? No. But it was definitely like something sweet.
Mystical bird season.
It was just a mystical bird season, and those birds fly away and it's totally fine.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from Karen Eisenberg. She wants to know, are you and Cole still in touch? And would you play again? And if so, would you have another showmance?
Oh, so many questions. So we are still in touch. My season is actually very, very close.
Yes.
We have a lot of group texts. We visit each other. So, you know, as a whole, we are very lucky to have walked out of this experience with a lot of deep friendships. Cole and I are still very much in touch, still very good friends. So that's kind of that. Would I play again? Hands down. Would I be in a showmance? 100% no. Like, if I ever play again and a hot guy talks to me, I'm going to literally walk away. I'm going to pretend like I'm mute.
Even if you're on the island with Ryan Ulrich?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay. That you don't know. All right. Okay. Okay, this is a question I want to ask you. So recently I flew to Reno, Nevada. I saw your friend Benny in Reno, and I flew with the winner of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, Adam Klein. And we were at the airport and he wanted to bring a snack on the plane and he wanted to bring a number of unshelled hard-boiled eggs on the plane. And I told him that that is in no way acceptable behavior for a passenger on an airplane.
Oh, my God.
And so I actually polled Twitter to ask, does this change your opinion of Adam Scott Klein that he wants to bring unshelled hard-boiled eggs on the airplane? Yeah, either yes, he's a monster, or no, it's okay. And one of the responses that I got to this Twitter poll, which I think was 75% yes, he's a monster, was from a dear friend of yours, Allie Elliott, who said, not only do you do that, you also bring tuna on airplanes.
This is so funny to me. Adam, we need to communicate. Yeah, I bring eggs and tuna. And every single time I bring tuna, they make me sit down and they, you know, look for my in my bag because it's in a foil package. And I was like, I'm sorry. It's a sealed foiled package of tuna and they've thrown my eggs away before. And I'm like, what am I supposed to eat? It's a debacle for sure.
So if somebody sits next to you on a flight, they can expect you to eat hard-boiled eggs and tuna?
Yes. And so here's the thing. When that happens, like typically you would be very annoyed with the person beside you. But what you do is you just have to humble yourself. So what I typically do is I will smile and I'll be like, listen, I'm Jessica. Like, I'm really sorry, but I'm about to pull out my lunch, but I promise it'll be gone in 1 minute. It's just going to stink for a second. Then they're like, oh, that's fine. Like, it's okay. So you just have to like, let them know. And really I can eat in 1 minute. I just need to get it in, you know, you just have to prep a person.
Okay. And you've never had a problem on the flight?
No, I've never had anyone, the security guards getting on, like getting my bags checked with tuna and eggs and peanut butter. It's very, very, very difficult. And chicken. It's very difficult every time. But I've never had a negative encounter with a person beside me because I always, you know, say, hi, my name's Jessica. I was on Survivor. I'm joking. I don't say that.
Okay. All right. And then this is a question from Brent the Shower Man wants to know, when was the last time you risked it to get the biscuit?
Risked it to get the biscuit? Is that just an open-ended question?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I'm kind of risking it to get the biscuit now. I just quit my job and I am just kind of like putting my hands in a couple different pots, hoping that someone grabs what I have to offer. I think that's kind of risking
what
it.
What are you pursuing?
Life is short, take chances. And I don't even want to tell you because it's so stupid. Like, I mean, I learned how to do Botox and lip fillers. And so I really want really rich women to contact me and be like, hey, come to my house and give me fake lips and Botox. And I'll be like, yeah, sure. I want to, and I know it sounds really vain and, you know, but the thing is people pay for this and I am licensed to do it. Like, why not do it? So I'm kind of doing that. Just have, you know, I really like the aspect of medical sales. So I've been kind of like talking to people like, you know, what they could offer me if I rep, you know, sell their product. I don't know. Like, I just like the aspect that I can with, thankfully, with the degree I have, I can kind of spread my wings and see what happens. And it's exciting to me, but with no real, you know, you never know like if it'll be successful, but you know, risk it and hopefully you find the biscuit, right?
Okay. Will you fly places to administer Botox to rich women? Will you pack up your eggs and your tuna and go anywhere to do this for people?
Absolutely. Like, as long as they're going to pay me, I'm there in a heartbeat. And okay. That's the thing. Like, if I can get there, I can build clients there, stay for a week and go somewhere else. I'm mobile.
Okay. What's the best way for people to contact you on Twitter?
Absolutely. You can tweet me, send me a message, find me on Instagram. I don't even know my Instagram name. Jessica underscore Lynn J. That's my Instagram.
Is that your middle name?
Yes, Jessica Lynn. Yeah.
Yes.
My nickname is actually Lyndon. It's a street sign that I saw a long time ago, Lyndon.
Well, why is that your nickname? Why is that your nickname?
Because it's my middle name and I love my middle name, Lynn, because everyone in my family has it. And so one day someone was like, do you have a nickname? And I was like, huh, Lyndon. Lyndon is my nickname. I made it up myself.
Wow.
There's no exciting story to that. I just like it. Sorry to disappoint you.
Okay. All right. So when you go to a woman's house and or a man to administer the Botox, do you have them lay back, close their eyes, and then do you tell them a story about how that there was this giant needle falling from outer space that is going to land? No, it's not a face story.
That's so funny. No, I think that people would be very surprised. I kind of turn into this very, very professional being. I, you know, I'm very goofy at baseline, but when I am doing business, it is, I have my own chair, my own light, and I bring it into their house and I lay them down. I have a little oil machine. Yeah, it's like an aesthetic chair, and it's mobile, so I just pack it all up and bring it in their house, and it's just this whole like ambiance of comfort. And I'm there for like 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and I'm very professional. There's no face stories happening, people. Okay. It is very
What if somebody would like a face story?
Maybe I should market that.
Okay, that's extra. All right, Timmy wants to know. Timmy Samari says, did you get hurt when you were skiing? Can you explain how that happened? What happened? Did you get injured?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I went skiing in January with our good friends from season 35, Cole, Patrick, Ali, Desi, and a couple other people. And we were on, I like to say that we were on a black diamond, and our dear friend Cole, I'm not blaming him, but it is what it is. He did this trick in front of me, and I went over the back of his skis, and it made me fall, and I broke my tibia. That's how it happened. I couldn't walk for 7 weeks, and I never missed a day of work. I had friends take me to work every day. But yeah, so now I'm back to normal. I did a lot of rehab, and I'm back to myself 100%.
But it was Cole's fault that you got hurt?
I don't want to say that out loud.
Okay.
I played the fifth.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Jess, well, this was so nice to get to catch up with you here today.
Yeah.
Anything else about Survivor or about you or anything else you want to talk about before we sign off today?
No, I feel actually very vulnerable. I feel like I need to pay you. I kind of feel like I've talked about a secret crush. I've talked about my life. I feel like I just had a counseling session.
Sure. We talked about Ghost Island. You had such nice insights into everything going on with Dominic and Bradley and the Hill people and Wendy and Wenny.
Yeah, I feel
Kendall.
Good.
Yeah,
no, I'm good.
So
Wenny and Penny, okay. Helen Keller.
What is the hashtag today, Jess?
Can we just go really simple? Like, let's not get creative.
Well, let me give you some options here, and then you tell me what you'd like. Okay, you can go off the board. We have the hashtag Mystical Mance.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We have hashtag Aggressive Lover.
Oh, God.
Hashtag Dommy and Wenny. Hashtag Kendall. Yeah. Hashtag secret crush. What do you like?
Oh, these are funny. Listen, I'm gonna have to go hashtag what was it? Dommy and Wenny.
Dommy and Wenny, okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Okay. That's really funny.
All right.
My friends are gonna love this.
Good. Good. Yes, your friends back in Kentucky that you talk about Survivor with. Yeah. Yes, but they're not Hill people.
No, we live in Louisville. It's across the street. It's across
They can't the see the forest like, for the tree people. That's right. Okay.
It's okay. Come out to society.
Yes. Okay. Well, Jessica, this was so nice. Can I also wish a happy birthday to your brother today?
Thank you. Oh, I would love that. I have a twin brother. He lives in New York. He works for NBC. He's very successful. And can I just give him a shout out? Sorry.
Sure. Does he like Survivor?
He does love Survivor. He's really big into television. Like, he is a writer. He's very much everything I am not. He is perfect in every way. I love you, Ryan Johnston. See you soon.
All right. Well, Jess, thank you so much. Have the happiest of birthday. Enjoy the pizza with all the meat, not steak.
Thank you.
Okay. Is this the one day of the year that you're going to eat carbs?
No, I eat pizza almost every Friday night. It's a thing. So I order a whole pizza and eat it myself. I'm really good during the week.
You eat a whole pizza by yourself on Friday night.
You would be absolutely impressed with my ability to eat an entire pizza.
So you eat hard-boiled eggs and tuna all week long just to eat a whole pizza by yourself on a Friday night.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I don't eat it by myself. Don't tell people that. Okay. Sometimes I have to.
Your friends that you talk about, Survivor and Dami and Wenny with, do they all eat a whole pizza themselves as well on Friday night?
So they actually split a pizza. I'm kind of the oddball in the group. I don't like to share. I like my own. I work really hard during the week to, you know, eat good. On the weekends, I just like to be free and I don't like to share.
Yes. Okay. Look, it makes sense to me.
Awesome. Good. I'm glad we're on point.
We're on the same page. Okay. All right. And then if you are a rich woman in the Kentucky area, reach out to Jessica for any procedures you want to have done. She is risking it to get the biscuit. We wish you nothing but the best, Jess. Okay?
Thank you, Rob. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jessica Johnston on the podcast. I thought she did a really great job here today. And I did not expect to go 2 hours here on the podcast with Jessica, but here we are. And I thought that was a lot of fun. So good stuff by Jessica. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments as well in terms of how you think that all went. We have our feedback show coming up this weekend. Very much looking forward to having Aubrey Bracco in to talk about the episode with us and everything going on there. And I know that this might seem odd, but we've never actually had Aubrey on a recap or a feedback show in the history of Rob as a Podcast, which is unbelievable, but is actually true. We did have her on the Wiggle Room last season, and we played This Week in Survivor History with her. We had her on the Match Game, but we've never sat down and talked about an episode with Aubrey. So I'm very much looking forward to that coming up over the weekend. So get your feedback questions in. Of course, if you're still here at the end of the podcast, then I just want to let you know about the Rob is a Podcast Patreon program. That's the number one way to support everything we're doing here on Rob is a Podcast, all of the content that we have coming out of RHAP. There's a great behind the scenes community that you may not even know about. And if you know, you like talking about Survivor, you like knowing about what's going on here on Rob is a Podcast, come and check out what we have to offer. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron to find out about all of the bonus shows that we do, 2, sometimes 3 in a given week. Plenty of opportunities to interact behind the scenes and much more. Go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, for putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.